This is A Story of Sorts, the podcast mostly about bookish stuff. Footnotes. Hello everyone and welcome to another bonus episode. I am Karina Pereira, as usual here to be your host today and talk about the books that I have read in April and one specific book that I just got yesterday after months of waiting called A Curse of Roses. So let's begin. April was another very good reading month. I have noticed that as the months go by, I've been reading less books or fewer books because January was a great reading month. It was the month that I've read the most, but I'm still going strong and honestly not complaining about the quantity of books that I've been managing to read. I'm very happy that I don't have a reading block like I had last year when the pandemic hit. And once again, it was a fantastic month with amazing reads. So once again, you're going to hear a lot of, I really recommend this book and I really like this book because I am terrible at reviewing books, as you have noticed by now, but I'm very good at telling you if I really like them or if I didn't really like them. So there we go. I started the month with another short story collection, this time The Secret Lives of Church Ladies by Disha Filio, that I saw coming around my timeline on Instagram quite often. And it really perked up my curiosity because so many people said nice things about it. And to be honest, I think the hype is justified. Again, it's very difficult for me to talk about short stories. It's even more difficult than a whole novel because there are so many characters and so many small details in it. But The Secret Lives of Church Ladies is super well written. I think the characters are very cunning and they are all quite complicated in their own way, but on the other hand, it's also very funny, which is terrible, but there are certain situations that are so bad and so terrible that it actually becomes a bit comic. So if you're looking for short stories and if you would like to get into the genre, or if you really like short stories and you haven't picked up this one yet, I highly recommend it. I did say I was going to say this. The next book was The Dig by Kunan Jones, and it was my second book by the writer. I've read it, I think, back in January, The Long Dry by him, and it was a book that had no little tiny sliver of joy throughout. The whole story goes from, or it kind of starts with a cow that disappears, and throughout, bad things, very small bad things happen. And with The Dig, I actually like The Long Dry better than The Dig, but the same mood, environment, sphere that you can find in The Long Dry, and that relationship with the nature, that is also very noticeable and like the center of The Dig. And once again, even though it is a very sad story, I think it is even maybe more terrible than the other one, it just punches you in the gut over and over again, but it's very well made, very written in a very clever way. And again, I didn't like it as much as The Long Dry, but I still want to read more stuff by Kunan Jones because he just got this atmosphere in his books that I don't understand how he manages to pass that onto the page over and over again, and it's really good. The Naomi Letters by Rachel Menes. I was, like I said last month, trying to read more and more poetry because I really like poetry, and it's a bit of a shame that I stopped reading poetry, but poetry is also not an easy thing to read because it doesn't start in one point and end in one point. Poems can be completely unrelated to each other. But this one, The Naomi Letters, was again very beautifully written. It's a collection of letters, love letters basically, written by this woman to Naomi. It's a little bit over a year, I think, if I am not mistaken, because basically the poems all have, like, there is a date and then there are the poems. And it talks about insomnia, it talks about, trigger warning, suicide, it talks about love and loss. So it's also a sapphic piece of work. Even though it is very sad, it's also very deep. And I really liked it. The next book was probably my favorite book of the month, even though I really liked The Secret Lives of Church Ladies, and it was Pachinko. I listened to it in audio form, and it's actually something that I had on my to-be-read for quite a while, and then I found out a few days ago that I had that book, I think, for for a few years already. I'm not really sure when the book came out. Actually, let me check that. The book came out in 2017, and I think that I probably heard something about the book at the time, and I got the book, and then I absolutely forgot about it, and only found that I had a print a few days ago, like I said. But I am very happy that I listened to this as in audio form, and it's such a good book. Like, the writing is so good, but also it actually talks about a part of history, or in a sense a side of history, that I know nothing about. And that is the occupation by Japan of Korea. I feel very silly right now, because honestly I don't have a very broad, or sometimes even any, knowledge of what was going on that was not in Europe and maybe in the United States. Even certain things happening in South America, I'm honestly very oblivious to. So I had no idea about this. I had no idea about this occupation of Japan, occupation of Korea by Japan. And I learned a lot. I learned a lot about the way Korean people were treated in Japan at the time. And like, this is a very long book, and it's a book that goes across generations. So it starts with the mother of this girl, like the parents actually of this girl. And then it kind of goes with the girl along from Korea to Japan. And then it goes like with her kids, she has two boys. And it's a story about immigration. And I am an immigrant. And the whole feeling of, you know, like, you don't have sometimes a place where you feel that you belong to, because you really like this new life that you have, or at least there are parts of this new life that you have in another country that are very good and nice. And you used to belong to this country where you were born in, but you haven't lived there for so many years that you know that if you would go back, there would be a bit of a cultural shock as well. So you're kind of like in this limbo up to a point in which, you know, you don't really belong. You weren't born. It's not your culture. It's not your blood, the place you are at right now. But the place you were born is also not a place you would like to go back to. And it's also not something that you relate to deeply anymore. So I really liked this bit about it, and to see those feelings about immigration on the page. But also the story of the characters, each and every single character that is basically at some point like a main character in the story. It's really well made and well thought out. I am just, if you're thinking about reading this book and you don't really know if you would like it, I really loved it. And again, because it's historical fiction, I think the value of it is also so high. Like, I've learned so many things, and it made me very curious to know more about this side of the story. And I actually picked up another book that I've finished now in the month of May that I'll talk about later, which is The Mermaid of Jeju. And it also talks a little bit about this, and about this side of the story, about the wars going on, etc. So I really, really like Pachinko. The next book I've read was How Much of These Hills is Gold by Si Pamzang, which was nominated, or actually won an award. And it was doing the rounds everywhere, so people got very curious about it. And someone suggested it for one of the book clubs that I'm part of with a friend. So we decided to read it, also because of the immigration background, of the story of racism that is in it as well, undoubtedly, of course. Honestly, I was expecting to like this book more than I did. I gave it 4 stars because I still think it was very good, but it took me a while to get into the book. So the writing was, for me, dragging a little bit more than I expected. Or, like, it's a bit hard, it's a bit difficult to explain. Sometimes you read a book and the writing really grips you, and this one didn't really grip me, not from the beginning. And then I got to a point in which there was like a new character talking about their own experience, and after that I found that I read the book a lot faster, but it took a little bit, took a while for me to get there. And again, a little bit like Pachinko, this is a story about emigration, but in this case is about, there's one person in the story that immigrates to the United States. You see a little bit of that immigration, you don't see the rest, but the main story talks about the two children of those two people who were born in the United States. But because they look a certain way, people don't think that they belong to the United States. The thing is, those two children have never known anything else. They don't know the land where their parents or one of their parents came from. They don't know, like, that you cannot relate to a place you've never, or maybe you can. Maybe you can relate to a place you've never set foot on, but to have people kind of like accusing you, or rather giving you that heritage and seeing you belonging to that certain place you've actually never set foot on, feels like something that is very unfair and also, again, very confusing in terms of identity. So I really like the way that the author explored that identity relationship and also the relationship between the two siblings, which are the main, they are the main theme of the story as well. And that was very well done. So I still think it's a very good book, but it took me a little bit to get into it. The last book of the month, so if I am correct, the eighth book of the month, was How Beautiful We Were by Imbolo Mbue, which again was, it either won a prize or was nominated for a prize. The story also talks about something that has been, you know, in the news since forever and that should be given more thoughts and change should happen, and there are so many people fighting for it and their voices are not being taken seriously, and it's the same situation that happened and still happens in Flint, for example, with the water, like the water polluting. It's about colonization. It's about basically white people going to certain places and taking the land as if the land was theirs, polluting the land and ultimately killing the people and making the people of that land sick without any kind of consequences. And the story is basically about this village that has to fight this very big corporation, which, if I am not mistaken, from the United States, who is polluting the river. And it gets to a certain point where pollution is so bad that children start dying. But of course, while the big corporation has people with guns, the small villages do not have people with guns, so they have to find a way to defend themselves. And throughout the whole story, there is this sense of hopefulness. No, the other way around. There is this sense of losing hope and how every time you try to fight back, they fight more because they have ways to kill the people that you love. And it's about how far these people are willing to go and have to go, even if they're not willing to save the ones they love and to save the land that they love and to take it back to themselves. It's a great reflection, and even though it is a work of fiction, well, it is very based on actual things that happen nowadays, still, unfortunately. So the whole month was actually very good in terms of reading. I don't think... Yeah, I sometimes, you know, when I dislike a book a little bit, I give it 3 stars, and I haven't given any 3 stars this month. Oh, I forgot a book, actually. I forgot a book between the Naomi Letters and the Namesake, and Pachinko, and that was The Namesake by Jhumpa Lahiri, which was recommended to me by Anamika, who was on the podcast, I think, if I'm not mistaken, episode number 7. And when we were talking about her coming to the podcast and she figured out, oh, it's a book podcast, you should really read this book. It's maybe my favorite book ever. And, well, let me tell you, it was really good. I have now Whereabouts, which is the book that's, I think, came out already by the same author. And The Namesake is about identity. It is about this boy who was given a name from a famous author, Godot. Gogol. And it is about the way that he does not see himself in that identity and how people associate his name immediately to the author. Yeah, it is. I don't want to spoil a lot of the book, but it is a book about identity, but it's also, again, about this family and about this family of immigrants that come from India and they go to the United States, and then the kids are born there. And yeah, it's the story of a family as well. And I really enjoyed it, but also the writing is so beautiful. I'm really looking forward to read another book by Jhumpa Lahiri, because I think it's one of those authors that I will continuously enjoy whatever they write. So yeah, I almost forgot a book. I'm usually, when I record these episodes, I do it by looking at my Goodreads account, because that's, or Storygraph, where that's where I have everything, and I completely jumped that one. This was what I read this month. I am in May. My reading in May is complete. It's all over the place, because I'm reading, I don't know, maybe 3 or 4 books right now at the same time that I started for book clubs and for podcast episodes that I want to record with authors, etc., etc. So my reading was everywhere. I'm super confused right now. I have no idea how many books I've read this month already. But I want to talk about a book to end this episode. And the book is called A Curse of Roses. And it was written by Diana Pinguixa, who is a Portuguese author. But the book is written in English. And I want to talk about this book because, first of all, it took a while for me to get the book here in the Netherlands. I ordered it via Bos & De Jong, which is a bookstore I work at, the indie bookstore I work at. And the first time around, the order was cancelled. And then it took, I think, a little bit over a month, because with Brexit and COVID, unfortunately, books that come from the United States or UK are taking a long time to arrive here, at least 3-4 weeks, unfortunately, which is, you know, it's a bit complicated sometimes to clients who they want to order certain books in English, but if those books are not very well known, then it takes a while to get there. But I got this book finally yesterday in the mail. It was the last book that I got before going on a book buying ban, that I promise this year I wouldn't buy any other books. And so far it's been good. I've been buying a few books for book clubs, because that was like the deal. I wasn't going to buy any books except for book clubs. It's been okay. So this was the last book that I ordered after the book buying ban. Before the book buying ban. I'm very confused today. And the reason why I wanted it, it's because A Curse of Roses is a book that talks about a very famous Portuguese legend. The Portuguese legend is about this queen, Saint Isabel, that she was a very good queen. And she wanted to help the people. She wanted to help the poor. So she used to take food with her to give to the poor. But her husband, as far as I can remember, King Dom Dinis, he didn't want her to do that. So one time, basically she's going in the street with bread. She had the bread hidden. And then he stops her on her way, and he asks her, "My queen, what do you have there?" And she says, "They are just flowers, my lord." And she opens that where the bread was, and flowers, roses, fall to the ground. And that is known as the miracle of the roses. So Diana has decided to write a fantasy story about that, about this this Portuguese legend. But in this case, Isabel cannot eat, because everything she touches turns into flowers. It is also a sapphic romance, so she's gonna have the help of this woman called Fatian, I don't know how to pronounce this actually, I gotta ask, but she's gonna have the help of this woman who is going to help her control her magic. So you can use your magic for good, you can feed the people if you can turn the flowers into food, the same way that you turn food into flowers, because this is becoming a problem for Isabel, because she can't eat. Because every time she touches food, it turns into flowers. So this is all I know about the book, but it's so nice to see a Portuguese legend being written about in a fantasy story like that in an actual book. So I'm very excited to start reading it. And I will, of course, leave a review here once I get around to it, which I cannot promise when it will be, because my to-be-read is very long and I have a lot of things that I have to give priority to, which is fine. This year has been okay. I promise I wasn't going to stress out myself with my reads, and I am not. So you'll hear from me again shortly, very, very soon, with an interview with another author or book lover. And you'll get a new bonus episode next month with the books that I've read in May. Don't forget that if you want to reach out to me, you can simply come to Instagram and DM me. That's the fastest way because that's where I am most active. But all my contacts are at linktree.com/Karina Pereira, or if you want links more directed to the podcast, you can find them at linktree.com/A Story of Sorts. I'll talk to you all very soon, and thank you for listening.